Take these ocean tears. Hold me. sense, but you say that's what faith is for. When I see a flood, you see a promise. When I see a grave, you see a door. And when I'm at my end, you see where the future starts. I don't know how you make go.
One, two.
All right, I need everyone here to do me a favor. Inhale. Now exhale. One more time. Inhale. And exhale. Now, in case you have breath in your body, I need you to give God some praise in this place. Everybody here qualifies, right? Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord.
I'll praise in the valley. I'll praise on the mountain. And I'll pray when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered.
Come on.
everything,
everything
that have breath,
that have breath,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise
come
the
on,
Lord.
Let everything,
everything
that have breath,
have breath,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, you know what? We'll praise God through technical difficulties.
He's still worthy.
He is faithful.
Yes, God.
Mighty and true. Come on, church. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have been saved and redeemed. We thank you, Lord, that we don't depend on what anybody else says, what our past says. It doesn't matter, God. It's what you say. It's who you say we are, God, and we stand in that. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise. Come on.
We'd like to invite our prayer partners to come forward, and we want to pray and agree with you in the name of Jesus, so don't be shy. We invite you up to come, and we're going to pray with you in Jesus' name.
The same God of your Bible is the same God that can heal you, that can touch you, that can make you whole. He's the same God. He has the same power yesterday, today, and forevermore. Here we go. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. It's your faithfulness we're standing on. Yeah. You heard your children, you hear your children. You are the same God. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were providing
on my hands and praise you again and again. It's all that I have in the hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
You can have my life, you can have it all. It'll never be worthy of you, Lord, but I give. Church, during this song, I want you to lift up those hands, and I want you to sing. I want you to remember the time that it looked impossible, and I want you to sing when God came through and you saw the miracle from heaven rain in your home. I want you to remember whatever you're facing right now. I want you to remember He's the same God. He's sovereign. So I want you to lift your voice and sing from your heart this morning. So come on, my love. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside alone. Come, get up and praise. We're not gonna sit by. Come on. Come on, my soul. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside alone. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, family. Oh, come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song.
Oh,
you got a lion
inside those lungs.
Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, come on, my soul.
Oh, come on, my soul. Up yours. You got a lion inside those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Come on and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You are all things, and to you are all.
because you are God. You're worthy of it all. Oh, from you are all things, and to you are all things. Break it down here.
You deserve the glory.
Universe, and to him you owe it all. To him you owe it all. So your knee must bow, as does every knee, and every tongue confesses that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when your knee bows in my presence, says the Lord, and when your mouth offers worship, and when your heart is surrendered, then I'm able to do incredibly beyond what you could even imagine, because you are with me in heavenly places, says the Lord. You are my child. You are my child. Everything that's under my feet is under your feet. You come into my presence, you get whatever you need. There's an inheritance that is to be found in my presence, says the Lord. There's an inheritance, and if you will come into my presence, you can access what it is I have for you. You can access what it is I have for you, says the Lord. So no matter how you came in here today, no matter how you came in here today, I encourage you to lift the eyes of your heart towards heavenly things. I encourage you to lift your eyes towards the eternal things. I encourage you to lift your eyes towards the God who saved you, towards the God who's able to do everything you could possibly need. I encourage you to step out of the natural and step into the supernatural. Step out of the natural and step into the supernatural. For in the natural, you are continually concerned about how you're going to make it from day to day. For in the natural, you're concerned about the things that come at you. You're concerned about the natural things of man. But you are higher than that, says the Lord. If you will walk in me and you will display yourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High God, you will walk in a higher plane, on a higher plane than what we see in the natural. Because the natural, you have to do it yourself. But I, by my grace, have offered to do it on your behalf. So right now, surrender to me. Whatever concerns you have, whatever fears you have, whatever worries you have, whatever regrets you have, lay it at my feet, says the Lord. Lay it at my feet and let me do it for you. Lay it at my feet and let me do it for you. Some of us, we're a little thick-skinned when it comes to hearing from the Lord because our minds are racing. And the voice of the natural is too loud. But you have to get yourself in the presence of God to shut the natural voices out and to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Because one word from Him will change your life forever. One word from Him will put you on a pathway that will take you to the place that He has for you. One word from Him, but shut off those natural ears. Right now, don't look around. Don't look around. Don't think about anything. Set your eyes upon Him. Set your eyes upon Him. Holy Spirit, speak to us. I ask you to drop a word in the hearts of your children. Drop a word for what it is they need. Drop a word in their heart for what you have for them. Yeah, you said you would speak to us. You would guide us. You would show us things to come. Drop a word in their heart right now, Holy Spirit. Drop a word in their heart right now. That'll carry them in the days to come. That'll carry them through where they would have had sleepless nights. They'll close their eyes in peace because they have a word from heaven. Thank you, Father, for ministering. We don't look to the natural, Father. We focus our attention right now in the house of God. This is your, we build an altar for you right here. We build an altar for you right now. We don't take this as a natural building, but we take this as a place where we meet with you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, for the angels of God that are encamped around this place and that are moving in this place. Lord Jesus, you are the head of the church. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. Holy Spirit, you're free to speak to us, move, minister to each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 hallelujah. That's a posture, that's a posture. Don't get sidetracked by the things of the natural. Don't get pulled aside by fears and anxieties. Just come into His presence and see what He can do for you, amen. I believe God's going to speak to us today. I believe He is speaking to us. He's ministering. His anointing is present. I believe chains are coming off of people. I believe depression is lifting. Fears and anxiety is lifting. Healing is flowing in people's bodies. Father, we thank you. Thank you. If you need healing, just lay your hand on your body. Father, I speak healing in this place right now. Let the healing power of God flow from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Thank you, Lord. You were a healer then. You are a healer now. Thank you. There's healing in your presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love to come. And you know, welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome this morning. I'm so glad for those of you who are here right from the beginning of worship. You know, it's more than just it's not just to make time for people to get to church. It's the beginning. It is the foundation. We come before God, we have to posture our hearts and prepare our hearts to receive from the Word of God. Amen. And so thank you for worshiping with us. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you've joined us. I pray the presence of God floods your home where you're sitting, your hotel room, your office, wherever you are, and that you are ministered today. In Jesus' name, praise God. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them, I'm so glad to see you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Awesome. How wonderful to see you all this morning. Praise God. Happy Sunday. Yes. I love that Mark gave us a testimony. He said last week I had a word about somebody having an interview and the Lord was going to give them favor. And he said that was Mina and she got the job she was looking for. Praise God. He's the one who hears and answers prayer. Amen. That's awesome. I love that. Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads. Come on, let's show some honor here this morning. If you're a father, won't you stand up right where you are? We're so glad. Come on, give a shout out to all the fathers in this place. Stay standing for a moment. Stay standing for a moment. You know, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Now, you may not be my father, but we honor you. You know, there's an old Marine Corps saying, we need a few good men. And it's still the case. And you know, I know as with motherhood, fatherhood comes with some hardship, some difficulty, and many times with regrets. But all of us have that. We all would do things differently. But I want you to know that you are very needed and very special and very vital in the body of Christ and very vital to your families. And so, you know, sometimes when our kids get older, we back off a little bit, and so we should. However, we never stop fathering them and mothering them. So keep doing that by the grace of God. I pray, let's just stretch our hands to the fathers. Father, we pray for each one of these dads in this place and those watching today. Father, fill them with your wisdom. Fill them with your a heart after God that hears you and follows you. Father, one that leads his children well, no matter their age, but that, Father, you give them direction and guidance and comfort and encouragement in the job that they do. And thank you for the blessing of God upon their lives today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love that there's many things. You can be seated. There are many things that God, there's the names of God and the attributes of God. And I love to call them out. He's the King of the universe. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the rock of ages. But just like we sang earlier, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. He loves to be called your father. He has a father's heart towards you. So there's many of us that don't have our earthly fathers present anymore. You have a heavenly father. Maybe you didn't have a good father. You have a good father now. A good, good father that'll father you. He's not just a God that you, you know, religion wants you to have a God off in the distance that you can just, you know, you just hope to please somehow. But he's brought himself close. This was the mystery, that he would open that Jesus would be the first son born from the dead, that there would be many sons in God's house. So he is your father today as well. Amen. We've got a great photo ops, courtesy of Samantha, out in the lobby. And Dolores will take some great photos. So we ask all the men, all the dads to go out and get some pictures there. You are the mighty heroes, and we honor you today. Amen. Special honor to my husband, great father. And you know, I think Mark Twain said, your kids think you, I'm not quoting it correctly, but when they're 12, they think you know nothing. But then as they become older, they realize you've learned a lot since then. You always actually knew it. And so you don't always get the honor due, but I'm thankful that the older my kids get, the more they show honor to their father, and you know, I'm blessed by that. You deserve it. Been a good dad. Amen. And then we have a little gift for all of the men as they leave as well. Praise God. Well, welcome to church. Do we have anyone visiting for the first time today? Anyone for the first time today? God bless you. Come on, let's welcome him. We're glad you joined us this morning. And we ask you to fill out, there's a little card that says guest. And when we pass the offering bucket by, just drop it in. And I hope everyone's really friendly and welcoming to you today. Amen. We are going to have an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And we're so grateful for the faithful tithers and givers in this church. I don't know about you, but that series on the covenant of blessing has really ministered to me. How about you? You know, God wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. Don't let the devil tell you any different. Don't let him tell you there's a ceiling. God has more for you, even in the financial area. Amen. But I want to read a passage that's not the right scripture. The scripture is Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. I don't know why we have that up there, but I brought it up here thinking that perhaps. The Bible says, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Now, you know, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So we heard about the covenant of blessing. God has a covenant that he wants to bless us. But then we see through the Bible where he gives us some wisdom as to how to participate in the covenant of blessing. So he says, glorify God with your wealth. We can honor God with our money. Money doesn't have characteristics. Money can be used for drug deals, can be used for terrible things, but it can also be used to glorify God. And I choose to glorify God with my money. Now, how do we do that? We do that by listening to him, by asking him, Lord, what do you want me to do? You always take in his direction when it comes to your finances, and also by doing what his word says. So when we're obedient to tithe, he says, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits and with every increase that comes to you. So every time we receive increase, every time we get paid, every time we get blessed, every time we sell a house, every time something good happens to us, we honor God with our first fruits. Amen. That's how we live, and that's how we believe. That's what the Bible says. And it says, then our lives will overflow with blessings. And so I take that wisdom today, and I pray it for you as you give, that your life begins to overflow with these blessings that God has promised us. Amen. So if you, there's an envelope in the seat where you are. There's the envelope with red. If you want to give by check or however, with an envelope, you can. Many people give online, so blessed by it. You know, we have enthusiastic givers. You know what? I love that. I love that we have one of our church family that sold a property and they wanted to tithe, and they don't wait till they get you on Sunday, but they give in online. Don't you love that? It's because it's between them and God. It's not to do with giving to man. It's not to do with being seen by man. It's honoring God. And so giving online is very easy. The only one that's not up there is Zelle, but Zelle, you just use the ascendchurch.us@gmail.com. Same. That's really good because there's no fees involved, and also Cash App, no fees involved. And to those watching online, be generous with your wealth. Honor God, glorify God with your wealth, and see how he will bless you in return. Amen. As you prepare yourself to give, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this covenant that we have with you. We thank you that the blessing of Abraham belongs to us, and that whatever you did then, you'll do for us. You're the same God. We look back at those stories and we say, wow, look what God did. He was providing then, but you know he's providing now. So Father, I thank you for showing yourself strong. Every person that has a need, I thank you for a supernatural door opening to them, even this week, where everything they need is provided and more and more. Say, I am amply supplied. That's my confession. My God supplies. Say, my God supplies all my needs, and I am amply supplied and able to give into every good work. Amen. Amen. So thank you, ushers. You can go ahead with the offering buckets. Thank you for that. And I just want to remind those that are watching and those that are here, there's various ways you can watch the service. You can watch on, we love you to be here. First choice, be in church. Second choice, well, the next choices are Facebook Live, YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter. If you haven't subscribed to that, go ahead and subscribe. Every time something new is added, you'll be notified. Our mobile app, which Ascend Church mobile app, you should be able to scan the code and on the back of your seat and get into our mobile app, download that. You know, I was just looking at the stats this week. There were 60 different people that accessed and did something on that app in this week, which is a very handy tool. And so use that, which is at our fingertips. Amen. And I remind you of the four main purposes of our church. First of all, that you would know God, that you would find freedom, that you would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen.
Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. I always prefer Mother's Day to Father's Day as a pastor. And let me tell you why. Because on Mother's Day, moms get their family to come to church. But on Father's Day, they don't seem to worry about that. So praise God. Happy Father's Day. You know, the scripture says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life on the earth. The Bible says when you honor your father and you honor your mother, that there is a promise, there is a blessing that comes on your life for honoring your father and your mother. Amen. So happy Father's Day. And this week can I ask you to put up the picture, Miguel, of Luke? We went down to VU Conference. That's our son, Luke Barry. I just had to tell you because they have their annual conference. This is at the Watsco Arena down at the University of Miami. And there's about 4,000 people. You can't see all in that picture. But we're just so proud of Luke. And we went down. It was wonderful to have the whole family, Nadine and Robin, our oldest daughters, who's still down there. And Courtney, my youngest daughter, flew in with her husband, Sam. And so it was great to all be together. We had a wonderful time. And they're still going on to this morning's their final meeting. Of course, I came back to be with you. And then we're driving back after church, back to Miami. We're all going to get together and have dinner for Father's Day. So praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's Word today? So I'm ready for God's Word. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father and that you care for us like a father. You send a father's help. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to come to the earth to save us, to redeem us. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to empower us and to guide us and to teach us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here today. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you anoint me and you enable me. And I'm relying on you, Holy Spirit, to speak through me today. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring revelation and you bring understanding to every person here, Father. I pray that not one person will be the same, but that they will be changed by your word today. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen and amen. Thank you to Bronson. Thank you to the worship team doing a wonderful job as they always do. Give them a big round of applause. I want to, as my wife said, I want to reiterate that I really encourage you. You know, service starts at 10. That's when we start worshiping. And there's a reason why we start with worship, because there's something that happens to you when you worship God. And if you miss out on worship, you really miss out on half of the service. The service is not just, I'm coming to hear a good message from Pastor Steve. No, we come to church to meet with God, to be transformed by Him. And that happens during worship. So I want to encourage you to really not miss any of the worship. It's so good. Amen. But today we're starting a new series, and it's called Who Are You? And I originally thought I would just teach this as a one-off sermon, but I thought, there's so much to say. Why would I want to rush and put this into a one sermon? So we're going to just, it'll be a few weeks. We'll see how we do, but just let the Lord lead us. But I really believe that the Lord wants us to be fully established in who we are. Amen? There's a lot of people that are struggling with their identity. There's a lot of people that have insecurities and inner turmoil. Go back for me, please, Natalie. A lot of people that don't feel good about themselves. A lot of people, they don't know who they are. They don't know who God says that they are. There really is an identity crisis in the world today. There's a great emphasis. We're hearing a lot more and more and more about transgender. Transgender is a term used for people who were born one gender, but they identify as another gender. They were born a boy, but they believe that they're a girl. And there's a lot of pressure for everybody in the world to welcome this and to celebrate it. And if you don't celebrate the transgender movement, then you're a bad person. Then you're hateful. Now listen, God loves everybody. And I love everybody, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, I love everybody. My heart goes out to people who feel like they don't fit in. And I believe everybody has a right, a God-given right, to choose what you want to be. However, as long as you understand, you have a right to choose, but you have to accept the consequence of your choice. And I believe the Word of God is the truth. And I cannot agree with anything that goes against the Word of God. Now, I can love the person, but I can agree with you and say, hey, you're right, you know, this is wonderful. Let's have a whole month to celebrate gay pride. Romans 12, verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Bible says we must not be conformed to this world. We mustn't think the way the world thinks. We must be transformed by renewing our mind to what the Word of God says. And let me tell you, in order to live happy and free, you've got to know who God says you are, and you've got to believe I am who God says that I am. That's the key to living free and living happy. The Bible says in the beginning, I'm going to get off this as quick as I can, but in the beginning, Jesus said God made them male and female. There's only two genders, male and female. Even somebody that wants to transgender, there's only two choices. You go from male to female or female to male. There's no. They've got 17 different genders, but it all comes down to male and female. That's who God made us. And I want to encourage you as a believer to build your life on the Word of God. Build your life. Believe what God's Word says, whether it's popular or whether it's not popular. In Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man." Jesus said, if you hear the Word of God and you do it, you're wise. He's a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. Now, I don't know about you. I want to be wise, not fool. I want to be a wise man, not a fool. And if you hear the Word of God and you don't believe it and you don't do it, Jesus said you're a fool. I never said it. He said it. But if you hear the Word of God and you do what it says, you're a wise man. If you hear God's Word and you don't do it, you're a foolish man who built his house on the sand and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, the beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Let me tell you, any time that you embrace anything that is contrary to the Word of God, your house is going to fall. It's just a question of when. When you hear the Word of God, you do what the Word of God says, you're building your life on the rock. Be wise. Build your life on the Word of God. Make the Word of God the highest authority in your life. I made a decision when I was 17 years old that the Word of God was the highest authority in my life. And if whatever it said, that's what I believed. And that's how we raised our children. And that's why, as an 19-year-old father, we have four children that are all serving the Lord, all involved in ministry, all doing wonderful, because we built our family on the Word of God. See, when you receive Jesus into your life, you are transformed on the inside. You transform from who you used to be. And when you know who God has made you, and you begin to believe that you are who God says you are, and you begin to declare and confess that you are who God says you are, and you begin to see yourself like that, then you become who God says you are. And that's the key to living happy, living being fulfilled, living in peace. The key is to know who God says you are, believe who God says you are, declare who God says that you are. The more you reaffirm who you are in Christ, the more that your life and your behavior will begin to reflect your true identity. Who I am in Christ is amazing. But let me tell you, who Christ is in me is the real story. That's beyond amazing. You see, our true identity is found when we stop being who we are, and we start being who we were created to be. Say, I am who God says that I am. Amen. My identity does not lie in my mistakes or in my struggles or in those discouraging voices in my head, because Satan is constantly fighting against believers, trying to get us to lose sight of our true identity. He is the accuser of the brethren. And in Christ, that's where your true identity lies. There's so many scriptures that tell us who we are in Him. And when you read in the New Testament, wherever you find scriptures that say in him, or in Christ, or in whom, or through him, or through Christ, or with Christ, or of him, or from whom, or by Christ, or in the Lord, all those scriptures are talking about who you are. So when you came in today, on the one side of your handout is my sermon I'm going to speak about today. On the other side, I've given you a number of scriptures that are all the scriptures that talk about who you are in Christ, who you are in him, who you are with him, in the Lord. I want to help you get going here, because there's like 140 scriptures in the New Testament that tell you who you are in Christ. And the more you study them, and the more you declare them, and the more you believe them, the more they'll become a reality in your life. I want you to know who you are in Christ. Who are you? We need to meditate on these scriptures. It'll build confidence in who you are. And you'll also find other scriptures that sometimes don't specifically use the phrase in him, and yet they tell you who you are and what you have and what you can do because you're in Christ. And when you find scriptures like that, I encourage you, write them down. Underline them in your Bible. Begin to meditate on them. Begin to confess them. Begin to say, this is who I am, and this is what I have in Christ. This is who God says I am. That's who I say that I am. Are you with me? Because you see, faith's confessions create realities in your life. As far as God is concerned, everything that you are and everything you have in Christ, it is so. He's already done it. He's already done it. Everything that the Bible says is ours is already ours legally. However, it is our believing what God says and confessing what God says that makes it become a reality in your life. For example, how many of you know that God has already provided salvation for every single person in the world? Every single person's salvation has already been paid for. But we only receive salvation when we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead. And when we confess him as Lord of our life, then we receive the salvation that has already been available for 2,000 years. Sometimes we say, well, God saved so-and-so last night. But from God's viewpoint, he didn't save them last night. He saved them 2,000 years ago when Jesus rose from the dead. That man just accepted it last night. He accepted the redemption that God provided 2,000 years ago, and it became a reality. You see, the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So say this, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth confession is made unto. That works for every single one of the promises of God. There's the same principle with everything in the Word of God. Everything God has already provided for us, when you believe what God's Word says and when you begin to confess it over your life, it becomes a reality in your life. And so as you read these in Him, in Christ, scriptures, they may not seem real in your life right now. It may not seem like you really have what these scriptures say that you have in him. But you see, as you begin to confess them, this is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I can do. Then it will become real in your life. It's already real in the spirit realm, but if you want it to become real in the physical world where we live, you've got to receive this and take hold of it by your faith. The more you talk about it, the more real it'll become in your life. The less you talk about it, the less real it will become in your life. When you find these scriptures in him, in Christ, in by whom, with Christ, in the Lord, underline them in your Bible. Write them down. Write them down. Get a notebook and write them down. Meditate on them. Think about them. And begin to declare, make a confession of it. That's what we're going to do today. Of course, the first confession that we need to make is the confession that Jesus is Lord of our life. in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what happens when you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for you and he rose up from the dead and he's alive and you confess him, say, Jesus, I receive you. I make you the Lord of my life. What happens? Well, you are transformed. And I'm going to share with you today. We'll cover, I think, 12 or 13. I've got a whole lot more. We're not going to get through it today, but we'll make a good start. Number one, who are you? You are a born-again new creation. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, unless you are born again, you can never get into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again. And in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, for you have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. Say, I have been born again by the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the Living Bible says when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So when you receive Jesus into your life, your spirit is born again. You see, the real you is a spirit. This body is just a house that I live inside. The real me is a spirit. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And when I receive Jesus into my life, when I confess him as Lord of my life, the life of God, the power of the Holy Spirit comes on the inside and recreates my spirit. I am born again and made brand new by the life of God within me. And all the old things, the mistakes, the sins that I committed, they all pass away. I become a brand new person, the Bible says. The old life is gone. A new life has come. Say, I am a born again, new creation. My past is gone. Amen. Who are you? You are a child of God. You're a child of Almighty God. Galatians 3:26 says, you have all become true children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Say, I am a child of Almighty God. God is my Father. And I love that because you see, you've got to see God as your Father. Psalm 57 verse 2 says, I will cry out to you, the God of the highest heaven, the mighty God who performs all these wonders for me. From heaven, he will send a Father's help to me. Now, as a father, I would do anything that I could to help my children. Anything that was within my power, I would give them the shirt off my back. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you feel that way with your children? You'd do whatever you could if it was in your power to help them and they needed help, you'd help them. Well, that's how your father feels about you. And the great thing is that he is unlimited. There is nothing. Sometimes my children are in a situation where I want to help them, but I can't. But my Father in heaven, he wants to send a father's help. He wants to take care of you. He's a provider. He's a protector. He wants to take care. He is your Father. You've got to see God as your Father. He's not somewhere distant, some God off in the heavens. No, he is my very own Father, and he cares for me. Number three, who are you? You are the righteousness of God himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See that? There's that in him. We're the righteousness of God in him. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We are not as righteous as an angel. We are as righteous as God himself. In fact, the New Living Translation says, so he could make us right with God through Christ. You see, because of Jesus, we have been made right with God, and we have been made the righteousness of God himself. And righteousness means, man, I have right standing with God. He's my Father. I can come boldly before him. The scripture says in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Now, you know, very often when we need God's grace most, that's when we don't come boldly before him, because the devil tries to condemn us and tell us, you can't go before God. Look what you did. Look what you did. But God says, when you need my grace the most, come boldly before my throne and I will help you. You will find mercy. You will find grace. God is your Father. You have been made righteous. You know, so many Christians, they feel unworthy. So many Christians, they're not bold to approach God. They come to me, Pastor Steve, won't you pray for me? Of course, I would love to pray for you. But do you know you can pray for yourself? Do you know that God will hear you just as much as God will hear me? You, his child, he's your Father. You can come boldly. You are righteous as God himself. Amen. Don't ever walk around, well, I'm so unworthy. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Oh, I'm just like the worm of the earth, Lord. I don't deserve any of your good. We know that. We know who you are. I'm talking about who you are in Christ. You were unworthy. You were a worm of the earth, but through Christ you've been made the righteousness of God. Don't you dare put down who you are. I am the righteousness of God. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. Say it boldly. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. Say, I can come boldly before the throne of God and receive his mercy and his grace to help me. Let me tell you, when everybody runs from you, God runs towards you. Number four, who are you? You are a saint. You're not a sinner. I hear a lot of Christians, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, actually, you were a sinner. Then you got saved by the grace of God. Now you are the righteousness of God. You're a child of God. You are a saint. Some people think the only people that are saints are people like St. Jude. St. Jude's a saint, one of the patron saints. But the Bible says you're a saint. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus, our Lord, both theirs and ours. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you have been called, you are a saint. You can just call me Saint Steve from now on. Say, I'm a saint. I'm not a sinner. Rolling Stones did a song, You'll Never Make a Saint Out of Me. Anyone ever heard that song? Don't go listen to it. So only it's one of the songs I don't like of the Rolling Stones, but you'll never make a saint out of me. Thank God Jesus made a saint out of you and out of me. We are saints. Number five, who are you? You are approved and accepted by God. A lot of people, so many people looking for approval in this world. In fact, to be honest with you, a lot of the transgender whole agenda is people looking for approval, looking for acceptance. But the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, we have been approved by God to those who preach the gospel. Our motivation to preach is not pleasing people, but pleasing God, who thoroughly examines our heart. Say, I'm approved by God. Romans 8 verse 10 says, you are fully accepted by God. Say, I'm accepted by God. Can I tell you, I would rather be accepted and approved by God and rejected by people than be approved and accepted by people and rejected by God. Do you hear what I said? I'd rather be approved by God and accepted by God and rejected by people than be approved and accepted by people and rejected by God. Jesus said in John 5, verse 41, he said, your approval or your disapproval means nothing to me. For I know so well you don't have God's love with you. See, anyone who has the love of God in their heart, they will approve me and they will accept me. And if they don't, they don't have the love of God in their heart. Say, I am approved. I am accepted by God. Say, I'm living my life to please God, not to please people. Number six, who are you? You are forgiven and you are redeemed. Ephesians 1, 7 says, for in him, notice that, in him, get ready, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him, we have forgiveness. We have redemption. In 1 John 2, 12, it says, I'm writing to you who are God's children, that's talking about you and me, because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. Let me tell you, there is no sin that God will not forgive you for. I was watching a little on TV, came on the movie Man on Fire with Denzel Washington. It goes back a little few years, and he's a bodyguard, and he's got a drinking problem, and he's probably done things in his past, and he gets this job looking after protecting a little girl. And anyway, he's talking to his friend and he says, do you think God will forgive us for the things we've done? And Denzel says, no. He didn't think God could forgive him. Let me tell you, there is nothing that you have done that God will not forgive you and cleanse you of. What about when we commit sins after we receive Jesus? See, for me, most of my sins I committed after I got saved. Because I got saved when I was 16 years old. So what about when I commit sin after I know the Lord? Well, thank God, God took care of that. Because in 1 John 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do? When you receive Jesus in your life, you're born again, you're made a brand new person, your past is washed away, whatever you did in the past. Now what do when you do things that you make mistakes, you miss God's best? After receiving Jesus, you say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for what I did. I'm sorry I lied, Lord. Forgive me, cleanse me. And he forgives you and cleanses you just like that. Thank God for 1 John 1 verse 9. And Hebrews 8 verse 12 says, I will forgive their wickedness. I will never again remember their sins. You see, when God forgives you, the thing I love about the Lord, he doesn't remember it. He doesn't remember it. You don't come before, because I've asked God to forgive me sometimes for the same thing over and over again. Am I the only one here? No, I'm not. I might say, Lord, I might do something wrong. Lost my temper. Said something I shouldn't have. Said something to my wife I shouldn't have. I have to ask her to forgive me. And then 3 weeks later, I do something else. In fact, it won't take 3 weeks. It'll probably be the next day. I do something else, and I say, Lord, please forgive me. Do you think God says, now, Steve, I forgave you yesterday? No, God doesn't remember it. Now, if God says, I won't remember your sin, why would you want to remember it? Why would you want to hold on to it? Say this, say, I am forgiven. My sins are washed away. God doesn't remember them. He doesn't hold it against me. And I don't remember them either. I'm letting it go. Amen. Because let me tell you, some people, I'm so glad that God is not like people. Because some people will never forgive you. There's some people will never, ever forgive you. And that's not the way the Lord is. And that's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. You know, Jesus forgave the people that crucified him while he was on the cross, while they were doing it in real time. See, some of us, we're like, I'll forgive them. Just give me some time, you know. Maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, a year. You got to forgive them while they're doing it against you. Number seven, who are you? You are God's workmanship. You are wonderfully made. You are a marvelous masterpiece. Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ. There it is again, in Christ, you see. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, we should walk in them. And the New Living Translation, I love it. It says, we are God's masterpiece. We are God's workmanship. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us so long ago. Psalm 139 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. My soul knows very well. The Message Bible says, body and soul, I'm marvelously made. Amen. Let me tell you, when you put yourself down, you are criticizing God's workmanship. Imagine you were standing at the museum and you're looking at this painting. You're at some museum, some art show. Let's say an art show. You're looking at the painting. Someone's standing next to me. This is a terrible painting, man. I can't believe it. Somebody's, what an ugly painting. I can't believe like a two-year-old, you know, painted this like a finger painting. And the guy says, oh, I'm the artist. Wouldn't you feel a bit embarrassed, you know, I'm so sorry. Let me tell you, God doesn't like it when you talk bad about yourself because you are His masterpiece. He says you are wonderfully made. Say, I am God's masterpiece. Say, I am God's workmanship. Say, I am wonderfully made. I am marvelous. That's what God says about you. Who are you? You are special. You are chosen. You are royalty. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4, you are dearly loved by God, and we know that He has chosen you to be His very own. God has chosen you. 1 Peter 2 verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I am chosen. I am royal. I am holy. I am special to God. Now, people may not feel that about you. You know, people watch the crowning or the coronation of the king, King Charles. And people love all that. And I get it. But I always look at it and say, you know what? I'm royal. I'm special. And I'm chosen to God. Amen. Romans 8:33, who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for His own? Will God accuse us? No, He is the one who has forgiven us and given us right standing with Himself. How dare anyone accuse me? God has chosen me and forgiven me and made me right with Himself. 1 Peter 1 verse 2, you are not forgotten, for you have been chosen and destined by Father God. The Holy Spirit set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus Christ. The next chapter, 1 Peter verse chapter 2 verse 4 says this, talking about Jesus. It says about Jesus, it says He was rejected by people, but He was chosen by God for great honor. Let me tell you, I'd rather be chosen by God and rejected by people than be chosen by people and rejected by God. How about you? Paul spoke a lot about being chosen by God. In fact, most of his letters, he started out, like Romans 1 verse 1. He said, this letter is from Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach His good news. Say, I've been chosen. Have you ever at school where they played sports at school and they choose teams? And I'd usually be like the last one to get chosen. When I was in school, I was small. I didn't start growing till I was like 15 years old. I was the shortest in my class. And I was shy, very shy. I sat behind my wife for a whole year. She didn't even know I was there. Oh, I'm not kidding you. Mr. Invisible. A whole year I sat behind my wife in maths class. And I didn't even think she knew I was there. I did. That's for sure. So when I was on the sport team, you know, they'd pick teams. I wouldn't be the first one chosen. But I thank God that I've been chosen by God. He chose me. Say this, hey, it doesn't matter who rejects me. I've been chosen by God. I am special to God. I am royalty. Number 9, who are you? You are holy and you are chosen. Hebrews 2 verse 1, Jesus the Holy One makes us holy. Hebrews 3 verse 1, and so dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy. Hebrews 10 verse 14, and by his one perfect sacrifice, he made us perfectly holy and complete for all time. Say, God has made me holy. Now, what does the word holy mean? Holy means to be set apart. Holy means to be dedicated unto God. You have been made holy. God has set you apart for himself. Now, God has set you apart for himself, and you have to choose to set yourself apart for him. See, we've got to live holy, dedicated to pleasing him. That's what it says in 1 Peter 1 verse 2. You have been chosen and destined by the Father. The Holy Spirit has set you apart to be God's holy ones, obedient followers of Jesus, who has been gloriously sprinkled with his own blood. In 1 Peter 1 verse 15, it says, shape your lives to become like the Holy One who called you. For the Scripture says, you are to be holy because I am holy. In 2 Peter 3 verse 11, don't you see how vital it is to live a holy life? We must be consumed with godliness. Now, and then in Hebrews 12, 14, work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Now, sometimes it concerns me a little bit with some people that teach about the grace of God, because they teach about the grace of God like that we have no responsibility to live right before God. And don't misunderstand, we're saved by grace, we're empowered by grace. But let me tell you, the Bible talks a lot about things that we got to do. And some people that talk about grace or teach about grace, they feel like if you ever talk about, tell Christians that you need to do this, now you don't believe in grace anymore. The Bible says you've got to work. God has made you holy. He set you apart. But you've got to work at living a holy life. Because without holiness, you will not see God. That's what the Scripture says. We must not take sin lightly. Now, when we sin, God forgives us. We confess. We don't condemn ourselves. But that doesn't mean that we're trying not to live above sin. Right? Say, I have been made holy to God, and I will live a holy life by God's grace. Amen. Number 10, almost coming for a landing here. Who are you? Who are you? You are dead to the power of sin. You are alive to God, and you are living in unbroken fellowship with him. Romans 6:11, you should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. There's that through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. There it is again. Consider yourself dead to the power of sin. The Passion Bible says it like this. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure. Now, some people have this idea, well, Pastor Steve, I can't help myself. I just can't stop it. This thing's just got power over me. Now, the Bible says you are dead to the power of sin. Sin has no power over you. You have the power to resist that temptation. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have the ability and the power. Because if you didn't, God wouldn't tell you to. Some people think, well, I just can't stop sinning. No, you can. Say, I am dead to the power of sin. Sin does not control me. I am living for God's pleasure. Who are you? You are favored by God. Do we have that, number 11? Not up there. You are, it's up here, it's not up there. You are favored by God. Now, the Bible gives us many examples of what the favor of God did for people. Joseph went from the pit to the palace. He experienced incredible promotion because of the favor of God that was on his life. Amen. Esther was chosen to be queen. She saved the Jewish people in her day because the favor of God was on her life. Ruth was not even Jewish. In the Bible, a lady named Ruth, she was from Moab. But because of the favor of God on her life, she married a wealthy Jewish man named Boaz. And Jesus was descended from her lineage because of the favor of God. And the favor of God is on you. Psalm 5 verse 12 says, Lord, you will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him like a shield. Now, who's the right? The Bible says God will surround the righteous with favor like a shield. Who's the righteous? That's you and me, because we've been made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So that means I'm surrounded with the favor of God like a shield. And in Ephesians 2 verse 7, it says, so that God can always point to us as examples of the incredible wealth of his favor and kindness toward us as shown in all he has done for us through Christ Jesus. There it is again. The Bible says that God's going to point to you and me. He's not going to point to Joseph. He's not going to point to Ruth. He's not going to point to Esther. He's not going to point to David. He's going to point to you and say, there is an example of the incredible wealth of my favor. Because you and I have the privilege of receiving Jesus in our life, being born again, new creations, the righteousness of God. The Bible says you're an example of his favor. The favor of God will open doors for you that you never dreamed possible. The favor of God will cause you to meet people that you never dreamed you'd meet them. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The Bible says that favor is better than silver and gold. Why is favor better than money? Because money cannot buy you favor, but God's favor can make you wealthy. God's favor can bring you promotion. God's favor can bring you position. God's favor can bring you prestige, success. God's favor will bring you friends you never dreamed possible. The dictionary defines the word favor. Favor means to regard with goodwill, gracious or friendly action or privilege arising from special goodwill, kindness beyond what is due or usual, particularly towards generous treatment and support, aid, furtherance. Favor is something that draws affection and goodwill, and that which is a means of promotion. That's what the dictionary says. When you have the favor of God around you, man, you have special goodwill. You experience preferential treatment. You experience promotion. It doors open that you never thought would happen. It's the favor of God. The favor of God will turn every adversity in your life into a victory. Let me tell you, one day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. In Psalm 89, 17, it says, your marvelous favor makes us even stronger, lifting us even higher. The God's Word translation of that says, by your favor, you give us victory. Let me tell you, you need to see yourself as someone who is favored by God. You need to expect things to go your way. You need to declare the favor of God. Thank you, Lord. I do it everywhere I go. Thank you, Lord. I'm surrounded by your favor. People want to bless me. They don't even know why. People like me. People are drawn to me. People want to help me. Not because of me, because of the favor of God that is on my life. And you have that favor. You need to declare it. You need to confess it. Amen. Say this, I'm favored by God. Say, God's favor surrounds me everywhere I go. Say, the favor of God makes people want to be good to me, promote me, show me kindness. Say, I am not discouraged by adversity because I know God is on my side. And if God is for me, who can stand against me? The favor of God surrounds me like a shield protecting me. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. Say, I see myself as someone favored by God. I take authority over inferiority and rejection. I know who I am in Christ, and I expect preferential treatment, breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Say, I declare favor in every area of my life, with my family, on my job, wherever I go, doors will open that seemed impossible. But I am highly favored in the name of Jesus. You just feel good saying that, don't you? Because that's who you are. And number 12, I think this is my last one. It is. You are an heir of God, and you are a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. There it is again, with Christ, in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. This is all because of Jesus. The Passion Bible says, since we are His true children, we qualify to share all His treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God Himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that He is and all that He has. Praise God, because I'm joined to Jesus, I'm an heir of God, I'm a joint heir with Christ, I inherit all that He is and all that He has. Galatians 4, 7, now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters, and because we're His, we can access everything our Father has, for we are His heirs because of what God has done. I am an heir of God. There is nothing that He cannot do. Amen. As an heir of God, you have an inheritance. You can access everything the Father has. And let me tell you, the New Testament is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It tells you everything that belongs to you as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. There's over 140 scriptures in the New Testament that tell us who we are, that tell us what we have through Christ. I encourage you to read the will. Study the will. Write it down. Confess that which God, confess that you are who God says you are. Claim those scriptures. Claim everything Jesus died for you to have. The more you do, the more that this will, His will become a reality in your life. Can you say amen, somebody? Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of this today? Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Give Him a big hand of praise. Well, we're going to pick up there next week. We just got started, really. But you take that, man. You take that. Who are you? You're a born again, new creation. You're a child of Almighty God. You're the righteousness of God. You're a saint, not a sinner. You're approved and accepted by God. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You're God's workmanship. You're a marvelous masterpiece. You are special. You are chosen. You are royalty. You are holy. You're dead to the power of sin. You're alive under God. You are favored by God. And you're an heir of God. And you're a joint heir with Christ. That's who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You today for everything that You have given us and made us through Christ, in Christ, by Christ, Lord. Thank You. We believe that we are who You say we are. We renew our minds, Lord, and build our life on Your word. And we declare everything You say, and we thank You for it. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head for a moment. And just close your eyes for a moment, because I want to pray. If there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God, if you're not sure if all is right, all is well between you and the Lord today, I want to pray for you. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would spend eternity in heaven, that all is right, all is well between you and God? Or would you have to honestly say, Pastor Steve, I hope if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe in God and tremble. What I am asking is, are you absolutely certain that if you died today, that you would go to heaven for all eternity? Because the good news is that you can be certain of that. You can know that for sure. I want to pray with you today. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. I want to make sure that when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Let me tell you, there's a heaven that awaits us. There's a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. Just lift your hand up high right now. Lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised up, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. I want everyone who raised your hand, please say this prayer with me from your heart. The scripture says, if you, in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I want everyone to say this prayer, especially if you raised your hand. But everyone, let's say it together with them. Say, dear God, thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me. Thank you, Lord. I believe, Jesus, you are alive, that you have been raised from the dead. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you, Lord. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. I'm the righteousness of God. God, you are my Father. I am your child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Say amen. Praise the Lord. Greatest decision you can ever make in your life is to receive Jesus and to follow him, give your life to him. If you raised your hand for that, I want to congratulate you. I want to encourage you just to stay behind for a couple of minutes. We've got a gift we want to give you before you go home. But as we get ready to go, I want to ask Abel to come up. Can we play that video for the Youth Fire Conference? We've got a video we want to close out with, and then just give us a minute. We'll be closing. Play it whenever you're ready. This is the conference the youth are going to be attending in July, correct? Let's make sure it's turned up there. Take it to the beginning. There you go. It's just 1 minute long.
You get the fire of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing stopping you.
He is marking you for the rest of this world. The world will marvel, as they said in Acts, these that have turned the world upside down have come among us.
He's rising up an army out in this place, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God, full of His fire.
We've got a job of work to do. It's the fire of God that's going to propel you through every opposition, through everything that would come your way. You can't do it in your own power or your own strength. You can only do it by the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God.
Aren't you guys excited for this? Wasn't that... I'm just watching it. The first time I watched it, I can see the anointing, and I know that these kids that are going to come through these, it's really 5 days, but we're only being a part of three, but they're going to come changed, and I'm already expecting and seeing it in faith what the Lord's going to do, and they're going to get consumed with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and you can, just like Pastor Rodney was saying, you can't do this in your own strength, and once you get the fire of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a ripple effect, and it's going to end up impacting their family, their friends, their schools. It's going to be exciting. So our last day of registration was last week, but if you still want to come, we have a couple spots still open, and we have some sponsorships. So if it's financial reasons you want to come and you don't think that you can afford it, come talk to myself or Michelle after the service, and we'd like to help you guys. So yeah, just come find us, and hope you guys can come.
So now, April, that's July 19th to the 22nd. We're taking a group from this church. We're going up to the Fire Conference with the young people. It's going to be great. You know, we were just at the VU Conference down in Miami, and my daughter Robin, she really wanted to take her kids. And, you know, her oldest daughter is 14, and Jude's 12, and then Jax is 9, and 6 is Jed. And you know what? They so loved Children's Church. Robin went to pick them up at 10 p.m., and they said, "We don't want to go home. We don't want to leave." They didn't want to go home. It was 10 p.m. Let me tell you, this Fire Conference, not only going to be a lot of fun and a lot of adventure, it's going to be life-changing spiritually for you. There's no telling what God's going to do in these 3 days. And I want to encourage, I know you've got about 10 or 11 young people already signed up. If you haven't signed up, like I spoke to Jordan, I'm calling him out right over there. Jordan, man, I really want you to go. If you haven't signed up, I don't know if Dolores' son, Ian, if you signed up, but if there's any way going, I want to encourage you. You'll never regret this. This is a destiny, a day of destiny for you. I encourage you to go. We've got some people that have donated some money to help. If you need financial help, we'll help you. I don't want anyone to miss out. I want every young person in our church to go on this trip. It's going to be great. Amen? And then what do we do on Thursday night?
This Thursday, we have another night of weekly prayer. It starts from 7 to 9. And we just had a powerful night a few days ago on Thursday. The presence of the Lord was so strong in that room. And we're praying and that the same glory and that's been building up on these Thursday nights will just begin to pour into this sanctuary, that we cannot continue ministering because the presence of the Lord is so strong. We're seeing visions, words from the Lord, words of knowledge. Michelle had a healing word of knowledge for somebody with a stroke, and we all came together and believed. And I stand in faith that their Noreen and Terry's friend is healed by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit.
I'll be there Thursday, 7 o'clock. Encourage you. Come pray with us. God's moving in this prayer meeting. Stand up with us today. Tell your neighbor, "I'm glad you were here today. You look better now than when you came in today." Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for who you've made us in Christ. As we go out of here, we thank you for your angels that protect us and guide us. Thank you that you guide us this week, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you use us. I pray that every single one of us will invite someone to come with us to church next week. Lord, let every one of us invite one to come next week and bring them in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. We'll carry on with our Who Are You? God bless you. Till then. Something